We are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. It's Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, Andrew Fry with us this week, producing and engineering. In the absence of Max Power, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. All you can eat pancakes for six more days at IHOP locations here in Wichita. We're joined on that hotline now by Jamal Halaparik from Visit Wichita. We're going to give you a dose of she hasn't answered yet, I'm told. So Jeff Lutz may be terminated at the end of the show today. We'll have a discussion.
I wonder why.
I thought you'd just spoken with her.
I have.
Well, you know how I love things like this. Right?
Yeah.
You're aware.
It's so good.
You're aware of what I think. So anyway... I wanted to, can we talk about what I was going to talk about?
Well, we're going to get Jamel eventually, but if you want to tease us with what might be next, sure.
I'm highly intrigued by the Big 12, and I was hoping to talk a little bit about how that conference has shaped up so far. The KU loss notwithstanding, which is, in my opinion, the worst defeat yet of any team in the Big 12. Colorado went to Nebraska and got thumped. That either right. means Nebraska's back, possible. Matt Rhule can coach.
We do know
or
that.
Or it means Colorado just isn't going to take off.
It could prime. Mean both.
Could mean both.
Could mean both things.
But color me in the camp that says prime ain't going to work out at Colorado.
Yeah, on one hand, I'm a little disappointed by that. On the other, it's like... Are you really putting yourself in position for it to work out at Colorado? Because it really looks like you're not. No offensive line, not much of a defense. They've got two really good players.
Andrew, do we have her yet? All right, we have Jamel Halaparik from Visit Wichita. We're going to give you a few events to whet your appetite. How are you doing, Jamel?
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fine. We're happy to have you on. We want to talk about some events, especially the one that's really getting a lot of buzz is the Drone Light Festival at Exploration Place. Tell us about that one.
You know what? That one is fantastic, and it's coming up soon. And it's great because you go out there and you know they have all the drone lights. You can see it from all over Exploration Place. So if you pull down there, you can just park in your car or get out and sit on the grass, and they do these fabulous displays with all these drone lights, more than 200 different displays. So that's always a fun and fantastic event that people love. And then, hey, we also this weekend coming up, we have Autumn and Art, which you know is huge out there at Bradley Fair, over 90 different local and regional artists, and they have everything from jewelry, painting, glass, ceramics. So people love that Autumn and Art. It kind of gets you in the fall mood.
Yeah, let me mention the drone festival at Exploration Place. That's coming up the 20th through the 22nd. Go ahead, Jeff.
And Jamel, I was going to ask you particularly about that fall feeling. Obviously, you want to diversify your events as much as possible through all different seasons. But is fall how nice of a season can fall be for events outdoors when it's getting cool? People want to be outside.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, you know, it's just so hot at times to be outside in the summer in Wichita. And when it starts cooling down, Eldersley Farm, I don't know if you've been out there, but it is fantastic. It has outdoor brunches and the outdoor cafe, Nasker Park, live music, the Wave, live music, the Wind Surge. And those are some of the places you can go out to. And a lot of the festivals we'll have, including the Drone Light Festival and Autumn and Art, where you can go outside and enjoy it and not just burn up.
So yeah, that's it's nice not to burn up.
Yes, exactly. But I
got
to tell you, yeah.
Go ahead. My bad.
You're fine. I was just going to say, hey, and on Saturday, too, this is another great outdoor event. It's Play on a Plane out there at the Kansas Aviation Museum, and families can go out there and get on the KC-135, Boeing 727, all different kinds of planes. Food trucks will be out there, and again, another fun event outdoors, and you can see those fabulous planes.
Well, talk about a fun event that goes on for a full month. National Hispanic Heritage Month begins September 15th, goes into October, and all kinds of events have been scheduled for that, including a salsa night at the Brickyard coming up on the 13th this Friday. A little early start.
Right. I think that sounds like a fun night. Somebody asked me earlier today when we were talking about it, is it just salsa dancing or is there also salsa the chip dip? I said, I think they're going to have both. But yeah, I think it's so neat. Hispanic Heritage Month goes from September 15th to October 15th. And there's all kinds of events over at Exploration Place. They're having different things. And you can find it all on our events calendar.
How do you, is it easy to coexist when the state fair is going on? Does that detract from anything that's going on in Wichita, or is it just as seamless as ever?
You know what, it kind of does, because, you know, people want to head over there and see that, which is fine because it's such a great event and they do great work there in Hutchinson. But there's still plenty to do here if you don't want to, you know, drive to Hutchinson. Have you guys been out to the state fair?
Not yet.
1984, I was there.
Why don't you go to the state fair? It's so nice.
I should go more often, but then again, I've been since 1984, but I've done my state fair duty and I've settled in here. And if there's a fair that happens in my backyard, I'll certainly be there for it.
Have you ever, Jamel, seen the pig races?
I have seen the pig races. Yes.
Love those.
I have. And you know what? I got to tell you guys something. We did a live.
Yeah, go ahead. You did a live shot.
Yep. At the Am I talking too much, guys?
No. Talk more, please.
Well, we did a live shot at the state fair, and we did a live hit of a baby calf being born. And so we would keep, it was so cool because it was at the state fair, and we would go back and forth, and during that newscast, the baby was born. It was really neat.
Wow.
It was like one of the coolest live shots I did. Yeah, it was fun.
That's beautiful.
That is pretty cool. Anything else you want to add before we bid adieu until next month?
You know what? If people are looking things for to do in Wichita, we have so many fun events and festivals. Just go to visitwichita.com and you can find the events calendar and see what's out there.
Yeah, and how excited, I meant to ask you this. We had Stacy Olden on the radio show last week with the Orpheum now doing their major renovation starting next year. How exciting is that?
That's going to be so fun. I can't wait. I love it when we see improvements like that in our city, and because people take pride in their venues, and so it's going to be fabulous.
Jamel, always a pleasure. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jamel.
All right, Jamel Haliparic from Visit Wichita. So back to the Big 12. Arizona State off to a kind of a surprising start. I kind of follow Michelle Gardner, their beat writer, on Twitter. They beat Mississippi State 30-23. If you get a win over an SEC team, and Mississippi State's not a terrible team.
No, absolutely not.
That's a decent win for you.
Yeah, it's a good win. Arizona State's kind of sneaky good a little bit. Didn't they win kind of convincingly in week one against somebody that mattered?
Yeah, they beat Wyoming.
Yeah.
You've got Arizona, which is coming to K-State. I'm not sure they're ready for K-State.
I'm not sure K-State's ready for Arizona.
Nah, don't get too high on Arizona yet.
I just want to see more out of K-State.
Well, we'll see more out of K-State.
You don't give Dylan Edwards the ball.
You got to give Dylan Edwards the ball. You got to get him the ball, as we like to say in the game of football. You got to give him the ball in space. You know what I mean?
You don't really turn Avery loose. I just got to see more.
Did you see the play with Dylan Edwards where he's running horizontally, and they pass him the ball, and there's nothing for him to do? Get him down the field, coach.
Just figure out ways. We don't want to see
that's a weapon
again.
You see Xavier Worthy with the Chiefs? That's what Dylan Edwards is.
He's not as fast.
Well, I don't know about that. I'd like to see him run.
How did the Chiefs get
Xavier Worthy? Look up Xavier Worthy's 40 time.
3.61.
No, it's not. Look it up.
It's pretty fast.
And I'll look up.
It was the fastest ever at the combine.
Well, Dylan Edwards can run with almost anybody.
4.21.
4.21. Now look up Dylan Edwards.
I bet. Well, it's not the fastest ever, so it's going to be a little higher.
Well, how much slower is it?
Well, it's probably not that much. Give me a second.
I'll say 4.30.
4.41.
Really?
Yes. But that won the Under Armour All-America Game Fastest Man competition. So that was a couple years ago. He may have gotten faster since then.
Yeah, I would think so. But you never know.
Again, that's 0.2 of a second, which is basically nothing. It sounds like more, but it's really not.
Well, it sounds like a lot. And then you've got Utah, the consensus pick. They won their opener at home against Baylor.
Their quarterback's hurt again, though.
Yeah, which isn't good. So I'm very intrigued by that conference. Not necessarily because of the quality, but because there are a bunch of teams that interest me.
Yeah, but
Iowa State won a game. That game was like watching molasses.
Well, that's what Iowa does.
Iowa's hard to watch. Sorry, Joe Auer. They just are. I'm not sure how Iowa State won it, but you know what you do in that game? You get out of Iowa City with a win.
Exactly. You pass the test.
You don't even look back. So,
do you think?
You know, the most, and I can't believe it took me this long to talk about it. Did you watch Northern Illinois, any of that game?
Yes.
You did.
I watched most of the second half.
You really did?
I did.
Put your hand
up. I watched a lot of football this weekend.
Raise your right hand.
I absolutely did.
That was fun. What's the name of that coach?
I don't remember. You didn't ask me these questions.
That post-game interview, and I'm going to give a lot of credit to the young lady who conducted the interview on NBC, because they hung with it. They kept him on camera for a good amount of time, even as the Northern Illinois Media Relations Yahoo was trying to get him away. What? Dude, let me talk. Let me have a moment.
Well, this is the Northern Illinois.
Let me have a moment with the Northern Illinois media relations guy. You're coming off the biggest upset in your program's history. You're on NBC, where you're getting more eyeballs on your program than you've ever gotten. Your coach is laying it out emotionally, answering every great question with an even better answer, and we're all captivated. And this moron is trying to get him off so he can go talk to the DeKalb
press. Yeah, he's got to go do DeKalb radio.
Are you out of your mind?
Hey, he's contractually obligated to go do that post-game radio spot, probably.
There was one fleeting moment where I thought about calling him today.
Really? I doubt we would have gotten through.
Well, I just can't believe that.
Probably has a lot of requests. Was he on Rome today?
I don't know, was he? You listen to Rome. This was a huge win on the road, Northern Illinois, beating the fifth-ranked Irish.
Lost their best player.
On NBC, the television home of the Irish. And those clowns,
Jason Garrett is the other.
Yeah, and Dan Hicks. Not clown. They're fine, but they're Notre Dame honks.
Yeah, but they captured the moment well.
They did. They did fine. But they were a little, how do we lose this? You know.
Yeah, after the game they were. But when it was happening, they gave all
they
the credit
did,
to Northern.
And they better. Because that was, I don't know that we'll have a better moment in college football all season. That one was really fun. And the coach's reaction, and I can't believe you haven't come up with the name.
Well, I didn't look it up.
I'm just astounded.
Derek Rottenham.
No, that's not his name.
I know.
But
it's got he's got a long last name.
I don't get it.
Of course, it's Thomas Hammack.
That guy played at Northern Illinois. He obviously had a lot of emotions going, and they all spilled out. And it was fantastic to watch.
It was fun. The game at the end wasn't fantastic. Notre Dame, what are we doing?
Notre Dame's
not good.
Vastly overrated. Even though what they do in week one.
Beat Texas A&M, who must not be good at all.
They must not be, which is shocking because they were really good last year, right?
A&M?
Weren't they?
Well, they got their coach fired.
Yeah, that's true. Weren't they? But what were they like last year?
Not very good. They bought out Jimbo for $900 million or something like that.
Well, yeah, they lost a bunch of games. They lost six games. My goodness. 7-6. We are joined on the IHOP hotline now by Tim Fitzgerald, publisher of GoPowerCat.com, all the K-State news you can fathom on that website. Fitz, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Quick turnaround now. Good. With Monday press conferences. You get back on Sunday and you're back up on Monday, but it also gets your week rolling.
Well, interesting game certainly to talk about. I'm sure there were a lot of questions. What did you think? What did you think of I knew this was going to be a big test. Tulane has a good football tradition. They have a good coach, even though he's a first-year coach. He came from a very successful program. They were as good as advertised. Did the Cats come out of that untarnished?
Yeah, for the most part. You know, they know they escaped. They know they had a hard-fought win and, you know, had some fortune go their way and also made some significant plays to help that fortune. And then they recognize their mistakes. I asked Chris Kleiman quite a bit about the need to get the ball to Dylan Edwards. Dylan's touched the ball 12 times
this season.
That's it. And he's scored three touchdowns and averaged about 10 yards per touch. And Chris Kleiman said, yeah, we got to get him the ball more. That's pretty simple. But so I asked a lot of questions about that performance, Tulane, and I thought they really took them head on. They didn't back away from any question I asked, whether it was to Avery or Coach Kleiman or one of the players. They owned what went wrong in that game, and they know they are 2-0. They're fortunate to be 2-0, and it's going to get a lot tougher with Arizona coming to town.
And before Jeff asks his question, I think you would agree with me that Dylan Edwards, of course, from our neck of the woods here in Derby, can be a big, big threat catching the football. And really the only time he caught one the other day was on a kind of a horizontal thing that had no opening.
Yeah, I would prefer never to see that play again because they ran it a few times and it just never worked. Yeah, you're right. You know, they threw to him in week one. I just feel like there's two things at work here. They're holding back a lot of stuff. They don't want to show stuff with him. And also, it might be Dylan isn't as deep into the playbook in terms of the learning curve that you would want because he didn't come until the summer. So, and the third part is you got to take DJ Giddens off the field to do that quite often, but I would like to see Giddens and Edwards on the field together. So there's a lot going on here, and I'll be interested to see if there's anything different in his usage on Friday night.
Yeah, you basically answered all of my questions that I had essentially about the K-State offense. But one thing, and maybe it didn't resonate with anybody but me, I just felt like at the end of the game, toward the end of the game, K-State's last drive, they didn't try to move the ball, only up a touchdown. Did that surprise you at all?
Yeah, I thought they were way too conservative there. I probably... I certainly wouldn't have thrown the ball unless it was a really safe pass, but I think maybe a little more misdirection, a little more, you know, getting the Tulane defense looking the wrong way might have been good. Maybe an Avery, you know, bootleg would have been appropriate. They certainly loaded up to stop DJ Giddens there, and it worked. And I thought that was a real failure of the K-State offense because they had an opportunity to basically close that game out. And they gave the ball back and plenty of time for that Tulane offense to get it done, and they all but got it done.
Talking now with Tim Fitzgerald, our frequent guest here on the show, talking K-State Tulane, and of course K-State with a Friday game this week against Arizona. Darian Minsaw kind of came out of nowhere. This kid is a redshirt freshman. His offers out of high school were to Lindenwood, Idaho State, and Tulane. Did he catch K-State's defense and their preparation by surprise, because he was really letting it fly in that first half?
I don't know if they caught him by surprise. I just think, honestly, bluntly put, K-State's back end of the defense stunk during the first half. And then they got the rhythm going. They did exactly what you couldn't do with Tulane, the same thing they did last time. They let them get comfortable and feel like they could play with K-State, and they did play with K-State. So in the second half, Coach Kleiman and Joe Klanderman, his defensive coordinator, decided they had to go more pressure, that he was finding open receivers, whether they dropped back in coverage or rushed. And so they even brought more heat, and it really disrupted him in that second half. And, of course, it eventually caused the forced fumble that was a scoop and score for K-State that allowed them to win the game. So it was a good call. They needed to adjust things defensively, and they did. But you can't just start loading the box against every Big 12 opponent to come after the quarterback. You have to have some balance to your defense. And, boy, that secondary, which I thought would be a strength of this team, looked really shaky in the game.
What does Avery Johnson look like as a fully evolved college quarterback? And you said they're probably holding back a little bit with Dylan Edwards. Do you think they're holding back at all with Avery, just turning him loose? And what do you think he ultimately looks like as a passer?
I think he's going to have to adjust to pocket passing. It's not always been his thing. We could see in the game the obvious tendency to be more accurate when he's rolling out or under pressure. He really does a nice job with that. One of his touchdowns was that way, and he had an incredible third down pass to pick up a first down when he was rolling out. And he's still young. We got to keep that in mind. As good as he is, he's still got a lot of things to learn. And I also think the coaches need to learn how to use him. Maybe they've been bottling him up, but I would expect we're going to start to see Avery Johnson with more design stuff with his legs as we proceed, because let's be honest, teams are probably realizing you need to pay attention to the running backs too. They've been trying to take away Avery Johnson, but then, you know, trying to ignore Dylan Edwards or DJ Giddens just doesn't work either. So pick your poison. And so far they've been picking to now not let Avery go wild. Maybe Arizona will do the same thing, but I also think K-State will do some things to get Avery more involved. And I think getting him involved early with a quarterback run scheme will get him passing the ball better.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, K-State coming off a 34-27 win on Saturday against Tulane down in New Orleans. I want to kind of switch gears and ask you about Kansas and as it relates to Kansas State. Both teams have new people taking care of the play calling as offensive coordinators. That's an extremely important role for any football coach. How much do you think that's playing into maybe some of this early conservatism on the part of K-State and whatever it was we saw from Kansas?
Yeah, I think there's a point to it, and I think they are holding some stuff back, but I also think Connor Riley's going through the learning process of calling plays. He had success in the bowl game, but now it's, you know, plenty of time to scout and settle in. Everyone's got their frontline players at this point of the season, so they're running into that. They have to be more creative, more varied on offense to be successful in the future, and I think we'll see them open it up a little more. I won't be really alarmed about this offense unless they come out really stagnant again against Arizona in the first half, because they've been stagnant their first two games in that first half and just really haven't looked engaged or motivated. And they come out after a halftime, a little tongue-lashing, and get it going. They just have to be good in the first half if you're going to beat an Arizona team that can put up a lot of points.
Well, Jeff Grimes, who has that role now at Kansas, replacing Andy Colt Ilnicki, who went to Penn State. Jeff Grimes is really catching it. I don't know if you got to see that game, but Kansas looked at times rather inept offensively. They played well in most other phases of the game, but they could never get it going offensively, and Jalen Daniels just didn't have it.
Yeah, it was difficult to watch. I mean, I literally tweeted as I was watching the game that my shock that KU was going to lose the game. Now, Illinois treated it like their Super Bowl, which is a huge compliment to Kansas. Let's just be blunt. Jalen Daniels got to be better than that. He just does, and he's capable of being better than that. So I think that was probably a humbling performance for him and for a lot of people that, you know, were totally bought in on him. Like me, that he could be an incredible playmaker. So you just wonder now about the injury and his time off and losing rhythm or all those things, because that did not look like a Jalen Daniels type of performance.
So we were talking last segment. It might be that Arizona State, at least for name value, has the two best wins. Is that a reflection on what the Big 12 will be? Are they going to be better than people think? Or do you think ultimately the cream kind of rises to the top, or is it going to be still 5-6 teams that might rise to the top?
Yeah, well, let's hold off on Arizona State, but they didn't mess around in this non-conference schedule. I mean, they just beat Mississippi State. Now they're going to Texas State, which is a really good football program this season. And if they survive this 3-0, it says a lot about them, because they had they'd lined up a pretty challenging non-conference schedule. But I think everything will start to shake out when we really do start conference play full on. We get our first conference game with TCU and who is it? I can't remember who it is. It's not TCU, it's UCF and someone playing the first conference game of the season. We'll start to see it kind of boil out. I think some of the teams we thought wouldn't be good, like Houston, Cincinnati, aren't particularly good. And we'll see how everyone starts to sort it out. But with the 16-team conference, you get wildly imbalanced schedules. Some teams pull really difficult schedules. Colorado did. And other ones pull pretty easy schedules. And I think Cincinnati might fall into that. So we'll find out how things sort it out.
All right, we always enjoy our conversations, Fitz. Thanks for coming on. K-State at home this Friday evening, 7 o'clock kickoff against Arizona. Of course, you can hear pregame, the game, and postgame right here on KFH. Fitz, thanks.
Nice, boys. It's going to be a weird Friday night with both teams playing.
That is going to be weird. Thanks. We appreciate it.
You bet.
Tim Fitzgerald talking about Kansas State football. Yeah. What else do you have? Do you have anything else to add?
Not really. I think we put it all out there in that segment.
KU playing also Friday night.
Yeah, they need a bounce back. That was pretty bad.
Not good.
I didn't stick with that one.
And UNLV is not a slouch.
I don't know. Maybe they are, maybe they're not.
No, I know. When I say something, you don't need to qualify anything. What you say is yes, sir, if you say so.
Is that right? I think that's kind of what I said.
Well, no, you said, I don't know.
They beat Utah Tech, and they beat Houston.
They're not a slouch.
They beat Houston 27-7. Who struggled with Houston over the – was it Oklahoma?
Yeah.
So we'll see, maybe.
And Oklahoma State, your team, struggled with Arkansas.
Yeah.
But they did pull it out.
I was going to send my friend David Michael Hanna a thank you Arkansas text.
Did your friend Jamin ever get back to you on?
Yeah, and I hesitate to tell you.
Did he say Lou Brock?
Yes.
He's an idiot.
It's not an idiotic take.
Look what Lou Brock did. First of all, look what he did in the World Series. He's one of the great postseason players of all time. And I know that doesn't mean anything to you and Jim. Oh, let's watch. Look at what he did. It's June 8th. And he had three hits.
Are you going to be okay?
I mean, look, you got to take things into account. And that's what's wrong.
We're talking about guys with 3,000 hits.
That's what's wrong
so
with.
You're already starting at a Hall of Fame level.
That's what's wrong with the younger generation.
What?
Look what Lou Brock did. And when we come back,
he
I'll
did have
talk
the
about
lowest
it
war by a lot of all 3,000 hit guys.
Good.
Whatever. Take whatever you want from
good
it.
Good.
300-plus caught stealing? That's not great.
You know what he had? He had the highest love.
What? Peace?
Yeah, he had the lowest war but the highest love.
Highest peace?
Love. Oh. Love is, to me, rules the world.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't it?
All right, we had a little discussion about who is the, what's the right term? The least talented member
talented.
Of the, the least, well, what's the word?
Worst player in the 3,000 hit club.
But you can't use the word worst for somebody that has 3,000
hits. You shouldn't, but that's what we're talking about here.
You and your friend Jamin, who I could put in a dark room and you wouldn't know where the light was.
Well, that's probably true for most dark rooms.
No, I know a lot of lights. Here's what you came up with. Lou Brock.
Yeah, that's probably
Lou
the
Brock
right answer.
Had 10,300 career hits, or career
at
bats.
That'd be a lot.
He batted .293. Biggio had about 500 more at-bats in his career, batted .281. A 112 OPS for Biggio, a 107 OPS for Brock.
Okay, so better.
Here's the difference.
I'll tell you the difference.
In the postseason, Craig Biggio, in the postseason, batted .234 with a .618 OPS.
Yeah, against pitchers.
I could have put my wife up there.
We're changing oil the night before the game.
Lou Brock in the postseason played in 3 World Series. Okay, 21 games. All of them went 7 games. Biggest drama you can imagine. You know what he did? He batted .391. He had a 1.079 OPS.
That's good.
4 home runs, 13 runs batted in, 14 stolen bases. And you know what he did? He looked over in the crowd and saw a 3-year-old Craig Biggio and said, "Try that, pal."
Well, clairvoyant. That's impressive. Biggio played 3 up the middle positions. Lou Brock played left field.
Please.
The easiest position on the diamond.
Biggio.
To play. He did.
Give me a break.
Well, that's where a lot of his value comes from. The fact that he started his career as a catcher, went to
second
base.
By the way, this was pretty appropriate. Biggio, born in 65. So in the 68 World Series, Brock could have looked over at him and said, "Hey, pal, try to top this someday."
How old does it make you feel that Craig Biggio is almost 60?
But do you see what I'm saying?
It makes me feel really old. Thanks for asking.
I got pretty close on that.
Sure. Good math.
Sometimes I feel like you just don't know what to do with me. Is that accurate?
Not really.
Because it's going to get worse.
When?
Soon.
How? Why?
Because I'll even start to become more disconnected than I am.
That's not going to be fun.
And there'll be a day where you go home and you tell your wife, "You know, I wonder if it's time."
You think that hasn't happened already?
Yeah, I don't think that's happened.
Oh, it has.
No, it hasn't.
Of course it has.
You think it might be time now?
No, but I bring that up every now and then, like I'm tired of radio.
No, I'm talking about, is it time to look for
a replacement for
a
you?
Facility.
Oh.
Have you had that discussion?
No, we have not.
But you have had the discussion about maybe we've come to the... I don't think the listeners like that.
Not really the end. I don't think, no, but I mean, this is getting hard.
What's getting hard about it?
It's just mentally taxing at times.
Well, of course, everything's mentally taxing.
Okay, so some days.
I haven't had a day in my life that I wasn't taxed.
Some
mentally.
Days that catches up with you. Most days it doesn't, and you go from there.
I often wonder, what if I just woke up in the morning and had nothing? Would I be able to adapt to that? Would I be able to? My wife doesn't think I would. Just having nothing. If I suddenly said, no more radio, time for somebody younger to take on League 42, what would my day look like?
I don't know. What would sustain you at that point?
I don't know.
Because obviously you feel like you need those things in your life.
Most days. Some days not.
Welcome to life.
I've done this for a long time. I've done this mental game. You wake up every day and you got, oh my gosh, I got this responsibility. I got to do that. Things are happening like everybody else.
Sure, it's day by day. One day at a time.
But retirement. Now, I know a lot of people who wouldn't even think of retiring. But I also know a lot of people who did retire. And are they happy?
Stay somewhat active.
I know some who did retire and don't stay.
Who?
I'm not going to give
people
names.
Out there, they're just not, the fulfillment is coming from doing nothing, or do you think they lack fulfillment?
I think it could be both. I think there are some people whose fulfillment comes from the knowledge that they worked for 40 years, and they're not going to work anymore, and no, they don't need anything to fill their time. They're perfectly happy finding something to read or some kind of hobby or whatever it is.
The hobby is the same.
Well, I don't think I don't have any hobbies.
Why not?
What are my hobbies?
I don't know.
Right.
You write on Facebook every now and then.
Is that a hobby?
Kinda. Doesn't get you anything.
Well, why doesn't it? Could I monetize that?
Well, give it a shot.
YouTube people monetize it. Our friend Bernie Miklas started a YouTube show, and apparently he's making some money off of it.
Good for him.
Should I sit down here every day and just start to talk into the computer and
yes,
get a YouTube channel going?
Yes, you should. Please do that.
Why? Why would you want...
I think that'd be entertaining.
What would I talk about?
Whatever you want to talk about. Pretty much like we do on this show.
Well, maybe I will. How do you do it?
Just do it.
Don't you have
How do you do anything? You just do it.
Don't you have to get YouTube to buy in? Somehow he got YouTube to buy in.
No, I don't think there's... Really? Like, it's not like sponsored by YouTube.
You can subscribe. Apparently you get monetary.
Well, he created a channel.
Right. How do I do that?
I'm sure there's an easy click or two. You can go on the YouTube website and figure that out.
What would I say?
I don't know. That's up to you.
I'm not. Well, he's not really active in the game anymore either. He's just a guy. He doesn't work for a newspaper.
Does
he
get
column.
Credentialed?
Could potentially, I suppose, but I'm just a guy now. I'm not anything. You know, who wants my opinion? Wait a minute, I have a daily radio show. I forgot about
that. That's probably enough, right?
Don't you think?
Yeah.
How many people in the world have a daily radio show?
Thousands.
Not that many.
Percentage wise, no.
But I mean, a lot of people, yes. But maybe I could turn that into something.
If you haven't already.
Well, I haven't thought about it.
Well, talk to Tony. They wanted us to do endorsements. We got people working on that for us.
See, I don't know. I don't
me.
Know.
Let's do it.
I just don't know if I'm interested in all this stuff. I'm interested in helping Odyssey. But I'm 70 years old. What endorsement do I have?
I don't know.
Bedpans? Do we do those?
I bet we could.
Stainless steel?
Well, you got kitchen people coming. Maybe you could endorse them
maybe
on the radio.
Maybe I will.
Make sure you get that check.
All right. Thanks, Andrew, back in the studio. We'll be back tomorrow. Vahe Gregorian from the Kansas City Star will join us. See you then.